This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You are listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mukhtar, together with Noel Lim and Kusu Chuang. We're starting the week, though, with a look at how global markets ended trading on Friday.
Yes, looking at Asian markets, the Nikkei was up 2.1%. Hang Seng was down 0.7%. Shanghai Composite was down 0.4%. SDI was down 0.2%. FBM KLCI was up 0.4%.
Yeah, America was mixed. The Dow was down so by 0.2%. The S&P was actually flat. And then the Nasdaq was up by 0.2%. Very small quantums.
So for analysis on what could be moving markets this week, we speak to Jack Kuzi, Director for Strategy of VFS Group in Sydney. Good morning, Jack. Happy Monday. Let's start with a look at the US. We had US non-farm payrolls come out for August, and they came in well below market expectations with just 235,000 new jobs. Do you see this having any effect on the current bullish run on equities?
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me. It's actually quite refreshing to speak to you on a Monday rather than hump day on Wednesday. So it's a bit of a change for me. Yeah, it was quite a disappointing number, wasn't it? I mean, it was way under expectations. So 250,000 jobs added. We're expecting 750. Unemployment rate did go in line to 5.2%. I think it's just reflective of, you know, a bit of a grind here for the global economy in general. We've got this renewed fear of the Delta variant. Retail jobs didn't pick up as much as everybody thought they were going to be, considering, you know, the world of the US is well into reopening. I mean, the question around whether it's going to affect markets, it's probably a benefit to markets. You know, it's more of a bad news is good news. This probably means that tapering will probably happen, but will be less inclined or less steep than we might be factoring in. And it also kind of puts a halt on any interest rates going up anytime soon within the US. I don't think it's a massively bad number for the long-term growth of the US economy. I think this is just a mirror of the global economy grinding back up. We've had this initial big boost in GDP growth and employment as we start to reopen, and now it's the slow month-by-month grind. But certainly not a great number for the world's leading economy, but nothing to shake markets incredibly. I still think I continue to maintain that we'll continue to see a grind up towards the end of the year, and I think everything's in place to do that. I kind of said this to you last week. It's going to take a lot to shake this market out of the buy the dip mentality and this grind up, and this certainly didn't do that when it was released, and I think we continue upward from here.
Yeah, Jack, before we talk about the all-important tech sector, let's talk about Jerome Powell, who comes up for renomination or otherwise this week by President Joe Biden. What's your sense of whether Biden's going to keep him on or not as the head of the Federal Reserve?
I think they will. I was actually surprised he was. I was under the understanding or the belief I'd read around earlier on that he wasn't going to go up for renomination. I think he'll be there. I think stability is a very key point. I mean, Biden's got a lot of pressure on his shoulders on external factors at the moment, and they are keen on continuing this economic growth that they're doing. So I believe that he will be put in place, and I think that's a good thing. You know, he comes under a lot of criticism, and, you know, sometimes it's fair and sometimes I think it's unfair. I think he's actually really maneuvered the central bank over there really well over this period. I mean, we've got to remember, this is unforeseen. You know, no one can predict it and no one's seen it. You know, this is a pandemic, it's a shutdown of the global economy. I actually think he's done a very good job. I think he should be applauded. And I think stability is the key, particularly for the US economy going forward. And I'm inclined to say he'll be around for another, I think it's a 4-year term.
Well, shares of mega US tech companies have been resilient even as the market rotates towards cyclical stocks. Why do tech stocks continue to be such a favorite with investors, especially now that I guess Chinese tech is taking a beating?
Yeah. Look, I think the cyclical value rotation is over. And I think it's been over for a couple of months. So I think that's part in play why you've seen that. If we want to talk about the big tech stocks, I mean, they're just all weather stocks now, aren't they? You know, they're defensive. They tend to be growth. People that hold them tend to be very sticky. So you're not getting much trading around them. They're seen as cornerstones of most portfolios now, whether you're a big hedge fund or a big retail fund or a big fund. I think that contributes to that. Also, we've got to remember is they've performed really well in terms of earnings. I mean, they continue to, you know, outpace any type of predictions we have on earnings growth. Their revenue growth continues. They continue to diversify in other areas of tech, both vertically and horizontally. They have enormous cash reserves. They're global brand names. I mean, it's hard to fault them. And I know it sounds like a broken record, but I often say, I've said it along, you just don't trade these things. You know, you just own them, you put them there, you put them in the bottom drawer, and you come back in years to come. And I don't think that changes regardless of whether, you know, Delta continues to spread or even we see some type of rotation back to value. These are stocks you want to own, you know, for a long, long time, unless something drastically happens in terms of, you know, tech regulation. So I go back to that point in saying that these tech stocks are all weather stocks. And I think, you know, they've shown that. And then back to my final point, which I reiterate, they're performing really well. I mean, they are growing really, really well, and their earnings are showing that, and that's reflective in the stock prices.
Yeah, just in isolation, the biggest tech stock of all, Jack, Apple, which you've described as the best company in the world ever, right? A couple of things that affected them. Obviously, it was a big week for them last week. The first thing is they gave some concessions in their app store to allow Netflix and I think a couple other Spotify to pay outside of the app, which is interesting. Not good for the app store. But there's also the launch of the iPhone 13, I think, coming up next month. What's your sense of where Apple's going to go for the next, say, 6 months?
Yes, and thank you for reminding me of that call. And I stand behind it, actually. look, iPhone 13, I think, is going to be very good for them. I mean, most iPhones are very good for them. I think they'll get a wave of new growth there. I mean, the services revenue, I keep going to the services revenue, which is doing very well. They've made some concessions, but they've also won a lot of battles against these internal companies within the App Store. Look, what can I say about this company? It's an iconic brand. You know, and it's just done really well. You've got the Apple Watch, which has done really well, especially they're moving to healthcare. You've got Apple Pay with Goldman Sachs. There's talk of them entering into the buy now, pay later space. They're very well run. They are a great product. They have great service, and they are an iconic brand. You know, they've got the new 7 chip, which is going to come into the iMac. I mean, there's just different parallels and different quarters that these guys can rely on. I think it's going to be another great quarter for them. And I think the iPhone 13 is going to do very, very well for them. And it's probably going to look exactly like the iPhone 12 and probably not be much more different, but they're going to still sell record units. And the greatest thing about Apple is, and maybe this is about a negative or positive thing, is they can sell you the same thing over and over and over, over again and make you buy it. And that's an incredible moat that they have.
Okay, so still bullish on Apple then, Jack. One final question. Quickly looking over at Singapore. Singapore is now allowing SPACs to list. Do you see this making the city-state able to become the tech IPO capital of Southeast Asia?
I mean, do we really want SPACs in Singapore? It's an interesting move. I think it's more of a headline. I mean, these SPACs have been a disaster. A lot of these SPACs are trading well under their net asset value and have traded down after doing an acquisition. You know, we've seen a plethora of them, you know, really defunct over time. We've had redemptions go down. We've seen the strategy of shorting SPACs after they've done a deal. It'll be interesting to see through the tea weeds about who's going to be allowed to buy these SPACs, whether they're going to allow warrants and retail clients to do that. It's a good move. I don't think it makes them the IPO capital of Southeast Asia. I still think that's Shanghai and Hong Kong. Look, you know, looking back on the whole SPAC craze and looking back now, I mean, it hasn't been a great thing for investors. And I just hope that they look at protecting particularly retail investors because they've been burnt through this SPAC environment. And if you want to, you know, there's great companies there that do statistics on these. They haven't been really good investments, particularly for those retail clients. So, I approve it with caution, and I'm keen to see, you know, what they're doing, and I hope they put in protections for retail clients because that's really important towards any capital or efficient capital market.
All right, Jack, thanks so much for speaking to us this morning. That was Jack Kuzi, Director for Strategy of VFS Group. Not sounding too optimistic about SPACs, but still very bullish on tech and Apple.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the way SPACs work is that you give a bunch of so-called experts a whole bunch of cash, right? To then, and you give them, say, 3 years.
A blank check, basically.
It's a blank check. And then they've got 3 years to go and find an asset. In the meantime, they're being paid big salaries. They continue to run the operations and they got that deadline, right? We forget, sometimes Malaysia, we had that SPAC experiment some years ago. I think we had 5 or 6 SPACs approved.
And only Hibiscus has really proven to be the most, probably most successful. And
well,
that's
the only one who
morning.
Graduated, right? Basically, you need to graduate, otherwise you have to return the cash to shareholders.
Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.